Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standards for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Make sure you like this video. Leave a nice comment if you'd be so kind. Go to calibrateministries.com for more ministry resources and podcast episodes. Well, thank you for joining us. Today, we are starting with a deep dive into the world of libraries. And what I found here is a little bit shocking. Even though I am so aware of some of the depravity in the world, I was not aware of everything that was happening within libraries, both school libraries and public libraries. And so I think that today will be a little bit enlightening for you. Today, I'm going to interview someone named Bonnie Wallace, amazing lady. I'm so excited about this awesome interview. And she has been fighting this fight, but I first want to give a little bit of background on why I thought that this topic was so important. It started just a few weeks ago when we were in a bookstore in small town South Dakota, and I came across a book that I've heard of, talked about. I have it right here, called Gender Queer. And it was out there for all the people and the children to see. And I opened up to one of the first pages I found. And the picture on the page was a graphic picture of two men having sex. And I was astounded that they were not only selling this, but that they were had it accessible to kids in small town South Dakota, out of all places. And so I took a picture of it, and I kind of used it in a sermon illustration the next day at the church there in town. And I started to research some of the books that are in libraries. And I had no idea how much this just depraved ideology of pushing this garbage on our kids had infiltrated the whole world of libraries, library science, the American Library Association, all the way down to our local libraries. I kind of knew that libraries were a problem. We hear about drag queens, you know, and drag queen story hour. And I mostly hear about that in like big cities. And I think that's horrendous. But I hadn't realized how the problem had bled down to such the local level. And there's such a strong agenda that is mixed in with the LGBTQ agenda that was driving what is happening in libraries, especially giving these books to kids. So I started doing some research, and I realized that no place is immune. And I was really shocked when I posted about this book, saying that it shouldn't be in the hands of kids. I had someone that I know very well, who is a librarian in Wyoming, and she completely went ballistic on me, attacking me for posting that and saying that this is no problem to give to kids. She's a librarian. And I was shocked that she, of all people, would support giving this to kids. And I then did some research and seen that she is on the board of the Wyoming Library Association, along with other people that I know. And they have actually been fighting against safeguards in Wyoming that would force them to put these kids in the adult section. And I was absolutely shocked that, out of all places, the Wyoming Library Association would be trying to give these books to kids. And that kind of started this whole thing. And I've been just astounded and dismayed at what I have found. And I discovered that it starts really all the way at the top with the American Library Association. I've seen that over the last few years, and probably many more years than that, the leaders of the American Library Association have been some ultra liberal, not just politically, but you know, spiritually, and really LGBTQ activists. The 2022 president, Emily Drabinski, is a self-proclaimed lesbian Marxist who stated that she was going to use her position to push her ideology onto kids. She also claims that parents don't have a right to control or monitor what their kids are reading, and that should concern all of us. And so she helped push all of these books into libraries across the U.S., and 90% of libraries are members of the ALA. And the current library president is a non-binary socialist. And so these are the people who, from the top down, are running our libraries. And they say that we should trust in them to decide what our kids should read because they're the, quote, experts. And so I was astonished that at the top, the library industry is such radical, perverted, really depraved people with an agenda to harm our kids. These books are absolutely harmful. And we're going to talk about that more with Bonnie. I have a few of the books that are some of the worst offenders. And I think there's actually worse ones. These are ones I had the most interest in because they're on LGBTQ subjects. But this is Genderqueer. It's been the topic of a lot of conversation in our culture. And it actually, this is the newer version, and it actually has an award given to it that's proudly displayed on the front of it by the Stonewall Honor Book, which is an award given by the American Library Association. And so this book is filled with graphic pornography, same-sex pornography, and it is being given awards and pushed into our libraries everywhere, both school libraries and public libraries. This one is All Boys Aren't Blue, and it has graphic sex scenes of a boy being raped. And it makes it sound like it's a good thing, like he's just losing his virginity to this adult man. And this is not, you know, some of the people who excuse this is like, well, some kids have been through those experiences. This is something they can relate to. But this is graphic details. This is the type of book that predators would use to like arouse themselves and masturbate to, like use it as pornography, like that type of erotic book. This is not the type of book that would help someone who's been the victim of abuse. I talked about this with one of my guests recently interviewed about if a child had, let's say, actually been raped, which is so extremely horrible to even think about, would you help them by taking them to a movie in which it shows a child being raped? Like, no, that is ludicrous. But that's what this book does. It builds that image in their mind, and just like a movie would. And so, and this is being pushed in all of our libraries. There is this book. It's called Trans Plus, and it is really a guide for kids on how to transition genders, including how to keep a secret from your parents, which is pretty abhorrent advice to give to kids. And one of the concerning aspects of this book is that there are 75 QR codes in it for kids to scan with their phones. And yes, so many kids have phones these days. Scan with their phones, and it takes them to online resources. Some of those resources are absolutely filled with sexual predators who are waiting to groom the kids who connect there. And so this book should never be put in the hands of a child. Another one is Let's Talk About It. And this book is, again, filled with just vile sexual images that I think anyone who would see it would say it's just pornography. But it is a how-to manual on all kinds of sexual stuff that's supposed to be given to kids. And it actually talks about sexting. This was, I think, one of the worst parts. Sexting is, of course, sending nude pictures of yourself to other people, really common these days. But this was like telling kids how sexting is fun and exciting. And that is absolutely abusive and predatory to tell kids that. First of all, a child taking a picture of themselves is child pornography. And the people who are asking for those pictures are pedophiles and child predators. And so encouraging that to kids is absolutely predatory grooming behavior. And so it is really absolutely horrible. So I was just astounded that these are the books being put in our libraries. And this ideology has bled down from the top, from the American Library Association, all the way down to local libraries. And, you know, many times I talk about a lot of the depravity that happens in public schools, right? And whenever I do that, my public school teacher friends, who I have many, they cheer that on, like, yes and amen, because they see the depravity and they are pushing back the best that they can. And they are trying to protect the kids as best they can and have a positive influence. And I think that's awesome. I think the public school system is a great mission field, and we need great Christian teachers there. And so I would have expected that from my library friends. I did have one friend reach out who agreed with me on a lot I had to say. And so I appreciate that. But it seemed like, by and large, most of them have completely bought into this ideology, especially some that are so-called Christians. And so I want to talk to someone today who has really been leading the forefront on pushing back, and she has won a great victory in this that I think is going to help us all across the country have a difference. So please welcome this really great guest, Bonnie Wallace.
Bonnie, you are joining us from the great state of Texas, and we are so glad to have you. We are going to hear your story, hear about what God has been really done in your life to lead you to this place of wanting to stand up and protect kids from what's happening in public libraries. So welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your life, and then we'll just dig into how you went down this journey of protecting kids from libraries. That sounds like such a bizarre thing to even have to say, to protect kids from libraries, but it's so true.
Libraries used to be a very safe place, and I spent lots of hours myself in libraries when I was younger, and I'm 58, and the stuff I'm finding these days, I am not even old enough to read. It is dark, it is demonic, it is deep, and it's going to take all of us linking shields, linking arms, and standing up for righteousness to combat. But I'm from Llano, Texas, so you may have heard Llano County at the time, which was 2.5 years ago, almost 3.5 years ago, was the first library in all of America sued for removing out of the children's section into the adult section. So not taking it out in the backyard and burning it. We're not book banners or book burners. We just relocated it to a section of the library that was adult only, so that children, unsuspecting children, would not happen upon images of sex, sex acts, sex organs, content that can damage the brain of a child. Their brains are not mature, not fully formed yet, and so we have an obligation to protect children. So in Llano County, I was told about some books, bad books in the library, in the county library, in summer 2021. And I give people grace, Brady, because I did not know what bad books looked like or sounded like in the very beginning either. And so when I'm showing or talking to someone, I give them a lot of grace, because it literally took me about 6 months until I saw my first picture, and it was from Gender Queer. We were talking about that a few minutes ago. It was a shocking image of two children involved in sex acts, and my hair literally started on fire, and I have not stopped talking about bad books since then. So I went home. I took a picture of this image on my cell phone. I went home and I emailed it to over 100 people, including the county judge, county commissioners, our school board members, every parent I knew, every pastor I knew. And I told them that Satan was after the children in our community, and we needed to gather together weekly to pray for the safety and protection of our children. And the people who sued me, ultimately, in Llano County, they FOIA'd the judge's Freedom of Information Act. They sent a FOIA request for the judge's email and received that email that I had sent. And so that's kind of how I got involved in the lawsuit, because I stood. But let me tell you, the books that I found originally, Gender Queer, It's Perfectly Normal, and some others, I would call them very benign now compared to what I have found subsequently. And so that was just the beginning. And that, like I said, was 2021. And here we are almost 5 years later, and we're still battling the same thing. I have been and spoken at 163 school boards in Texas. Seems like a lot, but we actually have 1,207 school districts in Texas. So I'm just barely bumping 15%, and I have a lot of work to do. But I have been in to over 2,000 libraries online. I have not found one clean library, not one, including Hillsdale College. Don't know if you know what Hillsdale College is. My husband and I are big supporters. We're President's Club supporters. I have 1,439 books on my bad list right now. It grows often. They have the worst book and many others, but the worst book, which is American Psycho. It's the worst book I've ever looked into, read excerpts from. It's very demonic and very dark. They have it. And, you know, my journey has been to protect minors. And I explained to Hillsdale, you know, I know that your students are not minors, but the way I look at it, when I told them about it and hoped that they would remove it, which they did not, I told them whether a child is a kindergarten child or a college student, a kindergarten student or a college student, when they go into the educational institution that they attend and they look in the library, they presume that that content that they find on the shelves is approved and sanctioned, basically, by the, well, it is, it's paid for. And so we have an obligation to enrich and nurture children, whatever age they are. And so, but anyway, so in April of 2022, the seven people who I call them the seven Democrats in Llano County, Texas, were very rural and we are very conservative. They sued the county, the judge, the four commissioners, the library director, and me. And they asserted that we had infringed their First Amendment right and their 14th Amendment right. And we've been in courts and out of courts ever since then. They filed in Austin. So Austin, we call it the blueberry in Texas.
Yes.
Texas is pretty red, but Austin is not at all. And so they file, you know, they judge shop. They go around and they pick the judge that they know will rule in the manner they wish them to rule. And so, of course, he immediately made us return the books back to the children's section. There were 17 books.
Wow.
And again, pretty benign, but 17 books that we had relocated. So he ordered that we had to replace them in the children's section, and we did. But we appealed to the Fifth Circuit, and we've been there now twice, once with the panel of three, which is the normal first process. And in our circuit court of appeals is the Fifth Circuit, which is Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi. They hear three cases a year, which in a manner that's called en banc, which is the full court, all of them, not just a panel. And so we petitioned after the panel of three gave a ruling that was very discombobulated. We petitioned to be reheard en banc, and they heard us en banc, which there's like 8,000 cases a year and three get heard. So we knew that God was still standing on our, you know, our side of this battle. God does not want pornography accessible to children. We have an obligation. And so they heard us en banc in September of 2024. In May of 2025, this past year now, because now we're in 2026. But they ruled that Llano County had the right to remove any book they wanted at any time they wanted for any reason they wanted. And so did every library in the Fifth Circuit.
Wow.
And so that was an amazing victory. After that, the plaintiffs that had sued us, they petitioned the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, to hear the case. It's called grant certification. And they denied that on December 8th. And so we are told by our attorneys that they will not hear a case if they agree with the lower court ruling, because there's so many cases to be heard. But if they think that the lower court got it right, they're not going to rehear that case. And so they left the Fifth Circuit ruling standing, and we are so grateful and so thankful. But
Absolutely.
There's much more work to be done.
Yes. And so there's a big overview of your legal battle. Let's go back to the beginning. When you first sent out that email to everyone you knew, like what response did you get from various people? I'm assuming some people were outraged, but you did get those books removed. Obviously, the local library did work with you and they moved them to the adult section. So there's some cooperation there, which I'm not seeing in very many places. So how did those different levels play out? What did you discover was the ideology behind some of this? Who are the bad actors who are having such a influence on our libraries that go beyond just the local like library board, but there's National Association of Libraries and so forth. Who are all these bad actors that are driving this ideology down to the local level?
Those are all great questions. So I sent it to over 100 people. In my town, we have 3,200 people. So we're a very small community, about an hour and a half west of Austin. So the second most conservative county in Texas, very, very conservative, very common sense. And so I expected immediate reaction from every single person I had sent it to, the email. And mainly what I've learned over the course of these years is that you have to show people or read to them, because I used to think that originally the pictures were the worst, but what I've discovered is the novels that have no pictures, but just words, they are just as bad or perhaps even worse than the books with pictures. I have found books with sex with animals, sex with dead bodies. I have found books that have QR codes that take children to sex shops, to sex videos. You know, I have found, I've been traveling around with a group of pastors and we go to school boards and we speak with them. Sometimes we meet with them in private with some of the members or the superintendents, principals, whatever. And sometimes we are forced to read at their school board. But a gentleman came one time who I had not met before, and he had been in prison for 10 years. And so he told me, I said, what book would you like to read? Because of course there's books about heavy drug usage. I have a book called Suicide Notes from Beautiful Girls, which tells readers, it's for 12-year-olds and up. It tells the readers how to kill their diabetic parents in a manner that is indetectable and they can get away with murder. And the girl does in the book. She gets away with several murders. And so, you know, I ask when people come to read and I don't know them and I don't know their ability, because not everyone can get up in front of an audience and read this deeply filthy stuff. And he said, "Miss Bonnie, I've been in prison for 10 years. I can read anything." So I said, "Praise God." So I gave him one of the most graphic sex scenes that was in that particular library, that particular school. And when he got up to read, there were about 250 people in the audience that day. And when he got up to read, he read about three sentences of about a page and a half that I had given him. And he began to weep. And it was so quiet as everyone in the audience listened to his anguish as he wept. And then he collected himself and he apologized to the school board. And he told them, he said, "I've been in prison for 10 years, and this book is prohibited to prisoners in Texas. Books with graphic illegal sex acts cannot be read by prisoners in Texas." And so afterwards, he apologized to me and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I blew it." And I said, "No, David, you were the most impactful speaker today.
Yes.
But tell me about the book list." And so he told me that books with graphic illegal sex acts cannot be, you know, if you mailed one to a prisoner in Texas, it would be removed from the prisoner would not be allowed to have it. And so I called my senator, Texas senator, who is actually coincidentally, not coincidence, it's God incidence. He is the chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee. He was able to get me the list. And I have found over 120 books that are prohibited to Texas prisoners but they're in our schools all across Texas. It's shocking. And so it's dark, it's deep, but we have to keep going. So back to your question, I got a total of 2 responses out of those 100 people. And, you know, most people don't understand what's in the books. And they think that because I am a disciple of Jesus and love Jesus, that maybe I'm a little bit radical. Well, I guess I am a little bit radical and proud of it, because I think we should all be radical for Jesus. You know, when I go speak to people, I tell them that we are to be zealous for God. That's what the Bible says. And the other side, believe me, they are zealous for what they believe, for their gods with the little g,
yes,
right? For Baal. They love abortion. They love porn. They love transgenderism and all of these things, and they are zealous for that. But on our side, you know, we want to be tolerant. We want to, we just don't have the zeal that we need. And so I try to encourage people to have zeal for what you believe in. So hardly anyone, you know, responded. And I'm in a little tiny community. And so it was difficult. We've had to change churches and change banks and all kind of stuff. But you know what? God just pulls you closer to Him when you're experiencing these things. And I question people and I say, you know, is your life perfect? Do you have any flaming darts and flaming arrows and fiery darts? Do you have any? Because if you don't, you should maybe reconsider. You should reevaluate whose hand you're actually holding. Because I think so many people think they're walking with Jesus, but chances are that if you're not experiencing some kind of, you know, pushback, you might not be holding Jesus's hand. So,
absolutely, yeah, it's we stay silent about these things, and I'm just astounded at some of what's happening in our culture. And I've experienced the worst of it. It's like, I identified as gay. I lived the life, right? And yet these books still make me cringe and so uncomfortable when I see what's inside of them. And I've done the worst, like I've done the worst of it, right? And yet as someone who follows Jesus, or I think just any human being should cringe when they see what is happening. And then I deal every day with the results of this type of depravity being given to kids, you know, not only in libraries, but so many of the men I minister to, their story of dysfunction and sin and confusion started by finding pornography, right? And virtually every man that I minister to can remember the very first inappropriate image that he saw and how it caused confusion and shame and guilt and yet some type of excitement, right? Adrenaline. And it set his heart down a path that led to sexual sin and addiction. And some of that has come from public libraries. One thing I don't share a lot in my story, because it's a very small part of my story, and so I don't want to embellish it or anything, but when I was a teenager really struggling with sexuality issues, I went to my library and I found some explicit books and images, and my heart was desperate, right? That was before we had smartphones, that's before we had internet, and so I hadn't discovered online pornography. That was pretty soon to follow because we got the internet then, but I found explicit stuff in my library and it impacted me deeply. Right. And I don't share that a lot because it's just one small part of my story. And the enemy was using lots of different circumstances in my life. But we should protect our kids in every area. And what I have found shocking about this whole situation is that it's not just like accidents. It's like, it's not just, oops, that probably shouldn't be there. It is an ideology that is pushing, that celebrates this stuff being put in the hands of kids. And when I hear what is being said by local librarians or quotes from, like, you know, I was looking up news articles with the Wyoming Library Association, and I know a bunch of the people involved there. And it's shocking to me that they're involved with defending this. The I recognize all their language as what I am usually dealing with LGBTQ activists. Like, right. They'll use language like, oh, well, we're trained professionals at serving diverse communities. It's like, oh, get real. And so, you know, whenever you hear language like that, it's like, I hate to use the word woke because, you know, I try not to get caught up in too much just, you know, name calling, but there is so much woke ideology infiltrated with the world of libraries that is the same language being used by LGBTQ activists.
Oh, undoubtedly. And they're all in lockstep. And so, you know, in Lano, when we got sued, our insurance company, the county's insurance company, would not cover our defense. And so we paid, and now the lawsuit's over because the Supreme Court denied, you know, the plaintiff's petition to hear the case. And, but we paid almost $700,000, the county, and we're a small county, not a prosperous county. But the judge and the commissioners wanted to stand firm. They felt an obligation to protect the children here. And they knew the world was watching. And so I'm very, very proud of them because it is not easy to stand. And recently, there is a case in Colorado called the ACLU versus Elizabeth School Board. So the ACLU has sued the Elizabeth School Board because the Elizabeth School Board removed 19 books. And those 19 books are worse than our 17 books. You know, it was about 3 years later. So things have changed.
Yes.
And we've kind of understand the scope of the battle. In the beginning, we didn't know really how bad it was. I thought that these books that I was discussing, you know, I thought they were the worst I would ever see. They're not even close to the worst. And so Elizabeth School District actually removed some books that are way worse. And so I'm happy for that. The attorney who's defending or who defended successfully Lano County is defending Elizabeth School District. And so that is a victory. Yes. And that case will go to the 10th Circuit. And Jonathan Mitchell is the attorney. He's confident that the 10th Circuit will rule against the school district. And that creates something that he called a circuit court split, where one ruled one way, you can remove books. The other one, you'll go to prison if you remove books. You know, it goes up to the Supreme Court. So it was a strategy when he received the phone call, will you take our case, to take that case. Now, they're not paying him either. And guess what? Their insurance company said the same exact verbiage that ours said, which was, we cannot pay to defend you, settle the case, and put the books back. That's exactly what ours said. Mm-hmm. And so all of these organizations are in lockstep. So the librarians, you know, they're the only place that certifies librarians, the only organization is the American Library Association.
Yes.
And so each of the 50 states has their own library association under that umbrella. And so the Texas Library Association, Wyoming, you know, all everybody has their own. It's the same thing. In Texas, our Texas State Library Archives Commission voted to withdraw from the American Library Association, which I consider a victory, but they did not vote to withdraw from the Texas Library Association. So technically, we're still in the American Library Association. So they train librarians. The Texas Library Association had a new award they created, and they gave it to the seven people who sued Lano County. They created this new, I can't remember the name of it, but it was an award, a new award, you know, Freedom Fighter or Freedom to Read Fighter or something. And they just, listen, they're lifting them up. They're applauding them. They're encouraging them to go out and sue. And so if you have no courage, if you don't have Jesus on your side, and or if you do and you don't know what courage is, they're going to go after you and they're going to threaten you and they're going to sue you and then you fold. And so we don't do this in our own strength. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and he will give us every day new strength. And so we go out and we stand. People ask me all the time, why are you going after books? You know, kids don't read books. They have cell phones, they have iPads, they have computers. And I I just say, you know, you're so right. I'm so glad God gave me this battle because it seems a little easier than the electronic battle. Yes.
Someone else can fight that one, but
that's
this is
right.
your
this
battle.
This is what God gave me, so this is what I'm doing.
Yes. And, you know, I know so many great parents who are protecting their kids from what's happening online. You know, their kids don't have a cell phone in their hand and they're protected from the internet. But what they don't realize is how much they need to protect their kids from the local library, right?
Amen.
And so, and my family, we love the library. We go to the library all the time. And being here in Washington, it's like, we made a mistake when we first moved here and brought a book home for the kids and got halfway through it. It's like, oh, it's celebrating two moms.
Yes.
And so I was expecting that more here, but not, especially in a lot of the rural places. What one question I would have is there's really kind of two kinds of libraries, public libraries and school libraries. How are, obviously it's a problem in both, but how are there differences there? One, you know, thing I was discussing with someone recently who gave me a lot of pushback on my discussion on libraries was like, well, it's up to parents to monitor what their kids are looking at. It's like, okay, but parents aren't allowed in the school library with their kids, right?
Yeah.
And so you can try to make that argument for public libraries, even though I think it's bogus, just don't have porn in the library in the kids section. But it's a completely different ballgame with school libraries. Is it the same, like is the, you know, American Library Association, I'm assuming they're involved in both public and school libraries of pushing this ideology, certifying the librarians, and it's in both places, correct?
You're absolutely right. And it's a little deeper than that even. So the American Library Association, 92% of libraries belong. Okay, so 92% of libraries nationwide belong to the ALA and their subsequent, you know, state association. But the American Library Association, to those member libraries, they send out two lists. One list goes out monthly and the other goes out quarterly. And they send lists out to the libraries and they have things that's, you know, their captions are things like, no library is complete without this new list of books. And so, well, everybody wants a complete library, right? And all the librarian has to do is click the button. And the books come in a few weeks and are delivered and they're on the shelves. And so, you know, listen, I know that not every librarian is bad. I agree that's probably the case. But if I was a librarian with all of the chaos and confusion about books these days, I would be very, very wary about putting a book on the shelf that I had not read. And
yes.
So it's pretty easy to just look online, even if you say the banned books. This is not about book banning. This is
absolutely
not about,
and that's how they frame it. It's like the American Library Association has a list on their websites. Oh, the top 10 banned books this year.
Right.
And of course, genderqueer is one of them. It's like, we're not banning books.
Exactly.
We're keeping them out of the hands of kids. Just like, you know, pornography magazines couldn't be sold to kids and they're covered in the gas stations. And now, you know, that's not as much of a thing because it's all online. But it's like, we've always understood that obscene things should be kept out of the hands of kids. And yet they are using things like literary freedom and that these books aren't just pornography. They have artistic value or literary value, all these excuses to try to give them to kids.
It's not literary freedom. It is permanent slavery. You are in slavery
yes.
when you become in bondage to pornography. And the difference between a Penthouse or Hustler magazine is that that is paid for with your own tax dollars. I mean, with your own money. This books in libraries, whether it's a school library or a public library, that is paid for with tax dollars. Tax dollars should not be squandered on profane and indecent content. So think about it this way. The FCC monitors for profane and indecent content in network television between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. I couldn't read these books on network television between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. And why do they do that? If you go on their website, it says because a child might be present. Well, we know that in the children's sections of public libraries and in every school library, children are present. So we need to be monitoring for profane and indecent content in the libraries,
yes,
paid for by tax dollars.
When these books can't even be read on TV stations between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. because kids might hear it. And yet those are the same books they're fighting to have in the kids sections, not just in the adult sections, but in the kids sections.
That's right.
I don't understand. Like, that is just spiritual darkness.
It is causing them to do that. Y'all, this is a spiritual battle. This is a battle between good and evil. And, you know, if you need Jesus, call me. I'll be happy to walk you to him. I'll introduce you, because it's going to take every one of us resting on Jesus for courage to continue fighting. Our children deserve better than this. And this is a spiritual battle. Satan is after the children. He wants the minds of the children. I listened to Ted Bundy's final interview that was recorded the night before he was executed. And he had Dr. James Dobson come and interview him. And I'm not a Ted Bundy fan, obviously, but one of the things that was very interesting, and you can watch the interview, your listeners can watch the interview online if they'd like, but he mentions that at age 11 or 12, he couldn't remember which age, but at somewhere between 11 and 12, he found in his neighbor's trash what he called piece of soft core pornography. So I'm guessing that was probably Penthouse or Playboy or one of the magazines. He found that, and he said he was so captivated by it, so enslaved by it, that he would look at it over and over and over for months. And then after a time frame, it no longer gave him the high he needed. And he said at that point, his words, he graduated to hardcore pornography. And the same thing transpired, that, you know, it worked for a long time, but then after that, it did not work. And he says that that's when he began kidnapping and raping and killing girls. And he says, and this interview was, I think, early 1989, he mentions that he said, like me, there are millions of Ted Bundys in your communities,
yes,
today, because of what we have allowed the children to have access to.
Absolutely. No, no one's like pornography addiction just started with where it's at now. And even like I've talked to guys who have been arrested for child porn, right? Their pornography addiction didn't start there. It started with very much more mild pornography and images that captivate their minds, which is why parents need to be equipped to shepherd their kids and help their kids understand good images versus bad images. And, you know, so when someone is exposed to something, they can be shepherded, have the gospel applied to their hearts, whatever age they are. But that's where it always starts, is with very mild images. And then it progresses from there, and it leads to then child pornography, rape, all kinds of issues. That's where sin takes us. Once sin captivates our hearts and is unrepented and kept in the darkness and in secrecy, it gets more and more extreme to try to satisfy us. And so why not prevent that from the beginning, right? And
there will be
people who find things, but we shepherd them, but like, let's protect the hearts of our kids.
So we shouldn't voluntarily squander tax dollars and
Absolutely.
Encourage kids to read it. Because a lot of these bad books, by the way, with a lot of rape, a lot of incest, they are in our AP reading, required reading for freshmen. You know, I'm talking about high school students.
Oh, wow.
High school freshmen. There are at least 10 books that are on my bad list that have rape and incest and graphic, not just she got raped. You know, no, it is graphic details. They're on the AP reading list required. And so, listen, when we are not paying attention and when we are not standing, Satan is. Satan does not sleep, right? He's constantly looking for his methods and people to do his bidding, and he's succeeding. I mean, if you look at the world, we know that he's not going to have victory, but we are still called to stand and to fight.
Absolutely.
And so There are two books that I know of, by the way, about, they call it now sex work. You know,
yes. You know, I did an episode a couple years ago, and I just turned into a blog post I haven't posted yet on sex work. Now, right. Prostitution is called sex work, and it's like empowering. You know, they claim it's empowering to women, which is so extremely ridiculous.
They're glamorizing it. And listen, I mean, I've got a book called Tricks, and it tells kids not to smoke crack cocaine, but to inject it. Because if you smoke it, you lose. You do not have maximum efficacy, and so these books are for 12-year-olds. They glamorize and trivialize very bad things. Our kids do not need it. There's a book called Boy Toy, just the name. You know, you should not have it accessible. It's in so many middle schools and almost every high school. It's about a 12-year-old student who was groomed and molested by his sixth grade teacher. One of the scenes, they have sex and he's getting out of bed and the teacher tells him, "Oh, honey, go to my briefcase and get the answers to tomorrow's exam. I don't want you falling behind." And I'm thinking, what kind of seeds are you planting in a 12-year-old boy's mind? Hey, you know, if I have sex with the teacher, I can get all the answers for free. Kids do not process the way adults do. And so that's why this is even more extremely dangerous for our children. We have to stand and protect them.
Yes.
But the concepts that are being introduced and glamorized and trivialized to our students, to our children, it's very damaging. And parents need to understand. And then, listen, they're not going to know everything. I still don't know everything. But,
You know, one of the excuses that I hear being made all the time is that, well, you know, parents can, you know, opt their kids out of certain books. It's like, that is so ridiculous. It's like, so for one thing with pornography, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And so a parent is supposed to know what is in every single book in their school library and know which ones to get online and opt their kids out of. And then you still can't prevent your, even though if your child isn't doing it rebelliously, it's like, oh, my parent opted me out of that. But once they pick it up and they see it or they read some words, that has been ingrained in their mind and they can't undo it. I know when I was reading by the Wyoming Library Association, again, I know all these people and I'm brokenhearted that they have taken this stand. One of them is a pastor's wife who is fully bought into the ideology. And I got an email from someone in Wyoming and they were fighting in their local library to have these books removed from their children's section. They said, the biggest opposition we've had is a pastor's wife. And he was bought into the ideology, which is tragic. But, you know, one of the things that the Wyoming Library Association says is like, oh, well, you know, there's a system for parents to be able to get online and opt their kids out of certain books. But only 1% of parents do that. Therefore, it proves that parents trust us and parents can trust us because they're choosing. Like, no, because that system is ridiculous. And so, you know, specific libraries have 100,000 books. And so how is a parent supposed to go online and go through a list of 100,000 books and know which ones to opt their kids out of and then prevent their child from picking it up to see what's inside to begin with? It's complete nonsense.
Well, you're exactly right. And here's the thing. I've been in this battle for almost 5 years. I do not know every bad book. So how in the world is a parent who's working a full-time job, juggling the responsibilities of a marriage and home and children, and some of them are homeschooling or whatever, they're never going to know the names of all the bad books. I do not even know the names. And so what I do encourage parents to do if there is an opt-out system is to send my list to their library and say, my kid cannot have any of these bad books. So there's like 1,440 books or something on it now. But it drives the librarians crazy because they have to input every one of those books as an opt-out to their kids. And so eventually they'll change the system and make it a burden on the parent to do that. But right now, all you have to do is submit a list.
Send it to your librarian and they have to opt your kids out. Yes, that's it.
Especially in school.
Yeah. Let's end with what are things that parents should be doing? Like there's some of us, I think, need to pick up our swords and fight policy. And with it seems so overwhelming. Like I'm in King County, Washington, even though we're in Enumclaw, which is a small town of 10,000 people, we're in King County, which is the county that Seattle is in. And so our local Enumclaw library is a King County library that's controlled by the socialists and the crazies in Seattle. And so it just, it seems impossible. We're going to homeschool our kids. And so that solves that problem. They're never going to have access to their school library, but not all parents can do that. And so what should parents be doing to shepherd your kids, protect your kids? Public library, local libraries, you know, school libraries. Parents want to know, what should we do? And so where should we start? How should they protect their kids? How should they fight against what's happening?
Yeah, it's a full-time job. And so I spend hours every single day. I get a zillion emails and phone calls, and I'm glad to leave that those numbers with you or those emails with you if you will publicize them. You can have any of your listeners, they can reach out to me on a phone call or an email. Email's usually better, but I do check my spam every day just in case, because a lot of the emails sometimes go to spam.
Yes. I will be happy to provide that email to any of my listeners. So reach out to me.
Yes. And so I'm here to help you. I'm here to equip you, to inform you, and to stand beside you. And it is just a matter of knowing, opening your eyes. And listen, the Bible tells us that people cannot see truth. They cannot hear truth. And so if you're listening and you're hearing and you're knowing that this is a bad thing, then that's a great sign. So stand with us. I always leave everyone with Joshua 1:9. You know, we all know it. Everybody that's a Christian knows, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. But when I speak, I tell people, you know, that's the world's version of that scripture, because you might have noticed that I left out part of it. And it's what the world leaves out, and it's the beginning. And the actual full scripture says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. Listen, those of us that are fighting to protect children, we are fighting on God's side. God does not want this stuff available and accessible to students, to children, to minors. And so we will have victory. We already have victory. We just haven't gotten there yet. Yes. And so join me. I will help. Call me. I will send you everything I have. I will answer any questions, because I want Washington to be as safe as every other community. And it doesn't happen by happenstance. It happens because we stand. And so I just, I encourage your listeners, you know, your children are worth it. And if you have no children, the children in your community are worth it.
Absolutely. You still have a responsibility.
That's exactly right. And listen, when people tell you you're banning books, I wish I had the authority to ban a book. No one's going to listen to me. Mm-hmm. You can still buy it anywhere you want. And so if a parent wants their children to have gender stuff or rape scenes, sex scenes, drug scenes, sex work scenes, you know, whatever, they can always buy that. No book has been banned in America. You can go to Amazon, you can buy it at Barnes and Noble and a million other places. This is not about book banning. This is not about book burning. What this is about is book boundaries. Our children deserve boundaries. And so
that is a great word to end it on. Bonnie, I am so encouraged and I'm thankful. I start to get emotional a couple of times as we're talking, because this is such an important fight, and I am so proud of what you are doing, and I'm so encouraged by it, and I'm so thankful for it. And I pray that this is a moment that people will listen and they will rise up and contact your local, you know, lawmakers. I know in Wyoming they'll be working on another bill this spring to help get these books out of kids sections, and lawmakers need to know that this is an egregious issue, that this is important, that they need to take the side of protecting kids. So get involved. You know, we need Christians on our local city councils and our library boards. And I think I've evaluated that for a while. It's like, why in these small towns do we seem to are run by so many liberals? And I think that Christians, we're busy like serving our churches, serving our small groups, right? It's like, it's hard because like I have a couple of evenings a week taken out of my life by church stuff. And so it's hard to be involved civically But we need that. We need some Christians in these positions of authority to protect our kids, making these decisions and holding the line. And so that'd be another encouragement I'd have for our parents and Christians.
I'm going to say something else there. If you can't serve, you can always vote. So many Christians Absolutely. Don't go vote. They don't take the time to vote in their, maybe in their school board elections. Listen, local is the most important aspect. It's the most pivotal for your personal lifestyle in your community. So make sure that if you don't have time to serve, that you can go vote every single time, because that's what's happened. We've, especially in the rural communities, we've felt safe. Right. We know that we live with Yes. like-minded people and we have felt safe, but we have not stepped up to serve. So we have in all of these positions, or the majority of many of these councils and commissions and school boards and library boards, we have very liberal people that do not share our biblical worldview. So we need to do better.
Absolutely. Bonnie, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I will be praying for you and encouraging you and just believing in what you do, because it is so important. It's making an impact. And you took it all the way to the Supreme Court and you won. And that is going to have a ripple effect across our country and give people across our country a tool and a president to fight. And so that is so encouraging. You have helped really the entire nation in this area. And I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And thank you, everyone, for watching this episode of Calibrate Conversations. We're going to be having more about libraries from different perspective, parents' perspective, a state legislature. So please just continue to listen, get involved. I pray that it's encouraging that one woman here has made such an impact on protecting kids. And so you can do that, too, ultimately, in the lives of your own kids, in the lives of your community. At the local level is the most important. And so do it. Be encouraged. God is on your side. He'll sustain you and get you through it. So let's do it, and we will do it together. Thank you so much for listening, and we will hopefully see you next time.
Wow. I am so encouraged by what Bonnie had to tell us, her story of working so hard to fight for kids. We all have different places we can do that, right? And as she said, some people are trying to do it by fighting pornography, being put in the hands of kids, you know, on their cell phones and wherever it is. But her cause is libraries. And I am so encouraged and astounded that someone would fight so hard and make such a big difference and not give up on it. And so I want to end by just giving us a few ways that we can respond. Here's what I think that we can all do, what we all should do, to really be a part of the solution here. For one thing, if you're a parent, protect your kids. Be vigilant. Guard their minds. Guard what they're being exposed to on TV, on cell phones, and in the public libraries and the school libraries. And that might mean never going to a library. I recently, just this weekend, saw some friends and we were talking about this issue, and they said that they just can't go in their public library anymore because there is porn and depravity everywhere. And they can't even just, it's not limited enough to where they can monitor and watch where their kids are picking up, because nothing can be picked up, and because it's all so horrible. And so it might mean never going to a library again. If you do go to libraries, be cautious about anything your child picks up. Don't let them look at it until you've looked at it all. We've been shocked by this when we brought a book home from the library a couple years ago. And I kind of expect this more here in Washington. I didn't know it was happening everywhere else, but got halfway through it. And, you know, it was about two moms. And so, you know, obviously in a lesbian relationship. And so, nope, close that book. That one's going back to the library. And so be vigilant, guard their minds. That's our job as a parent. Teach your kids about good images and bad images. Last month did an interview with Elizabeth Urbanowski, and it was awesome. Go listen to that on how to shepherd your kids and talk to them about these things before they are exposed to it at some point, but protect them to keep them from being exposed as long as possible. So protect your kids. Secondly, we need to fight for good policy. And that's exactly what we just heard from Bonnie and what she is doing. The government has a duty to protect its citizens. That's one of the basic rules of government. And so we need to fight for good policy on this. I know in places like Wyoming, they're going to be introducing more legislation this spring to protect kids in libraries. And I'm excited for that. We should be supporting those bills. We should be talking to our local, county officials who usually are the ones who control the libraries, our school boards. We need to be running for those offices. We push for good policy that protects kids. We push the government to do their job. We have a voice. And third, I want to address this. Librarians who claim to know and follow Jesus. I know that there's some of them out there. And like I've said, I know that some of them are good and some of them aren't doing all of this, but it seems to be almost all libraries and most librarians. And so don't make assumptions, be kind, but fight for good policy. And now we have to deal with the librarians amongst us who are actually buying into this depravity and giving it to kids and who have been really brainwashed by this ideology. If they know Jesus, they need to be pushed back on and they need some discipleship in their life. And they may even need some church discipline. And that might sound shocking to some of you, but that's how serious this issue is. If there was a librarian going to my church who was supporting this ideology and supporting this stuff being given to kids, like they should be taken before the elders for church discipline, and we should plead with them to repent, because anyone who'd give this to kids is a child predator and is abusing kids. That's how serious this is. And so this isn't just part of their job. If they want to be a librarian, that's great. We need Christians in all areas of society, but they should be working within their local library to protect kids. They should be pushing back on the culture and trying to change the culture within library science. They should be pushing back on their state library association. They should be trying to change what their state library association is doing. They should be pushing back on the American Library Association. They should be trying to change some big things because of their just convictions they have from God's word. And so make sure that they are doing that. But for the librarians who have bought into the ideology and who are trying to protect librarians' rights, so they call it, to give these books to kids, they need to be pushed back on. They should be facing church discipline. And if they don't repent, they should be removed from your fellowship. That is how serious and harmful this behavior is. And them claiming that they're fighting for people's rights, that is really just no different than, let's say, a doctor who chooses to work at an abortion clinic and perform abortions and saying, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm fighting for women's rights by fighting for their right for abortion, for that policy, and providing the abortions. Like, no, a Christian doctor should not be doing that. And if they went to my church, hopefully the elders would be putting them under church discipline and removing them from the fellowship if they didn't repent. Just get a different job. Refuse to work there. If your employer is forcing you to perform abortions, then get a different job. And that's the same for librarians. But in the meantime, for Christians who are librarians, push back. Don't be part of the depravity. The Bible tells us don't participate in the acts of evil, but expose them. You should be exposing what is happening within the library industrial complex, the American Library Association, library science degrees being given out on campuses that teach that this is what librarians should be doing, your local libraries, your state library association. You should be pushing back and fighting for kids within the industry that you work in. And if we're a part of a church, we should walk alongside those librarians to plead for their repentance and to beg them to go a different course and to protect kids. And, if I was in leadership at a church where a librarian was doing this, gosh, like Again, there would be some church discipline going on, some major discipleship, and I definitely would not give them access to my kids. I wouldn't let them help with children's ministry in the process. Any librarian who would give books like this to kids should not be a part of a children's ministry in a church. And so we need to make sure that we are doing our part, and that might mean protecting our local church body from child predators, which just might be your local librarian, with as just crazy of a thing that that sounds. That's just reality of where we are at. All right. Well, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news today with what's going on in libraries. There's going to be more to come, but there's hope. There's hope because we can work to protect our kids, and there's hope because we have people like Bonnie doing her part to protect kids. And I pray that we can all pray about what is our part to protect kids and push back against what this just evil movement is trying to do to them. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have some more episodes on libraries, books, protecting kids. And I don't do these to be just sensational and to stir up drama. I truly want to equip us to walk alongside our kids, to have an influence in our culture, to protect society, not only our own kids, but all the other kids out there who need protection. So thank you for joining us. Go to calibrateministries.com for more resources, more podcast episodes. We are completely, you know, funded by donors. And so if you are in a place to support what Calibrate Ministries is doing, we really, really appreciate it. All right. Have a good day. Thank you.